everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's February 2023, and this is episode 328, which is a conversation about the history television series, Ancient Aliens, and their views about the Bible. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Madenwalt, who is Director of Operations at Mama Bear Apologetics. She is also the Director of Children's Ministry at a church in Waco, Texas. Lindsay has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Ancient Aliens and the Bible, What the Popular Television Series Says About Extraterrestrials in Scripture. And our subscribers can read it for free at our website, equip.org. And if you would like to get access to all of our online exclusive content, please subscribe to our journal at equip.org. Lindsay, it's good to have you on the podcast again.
It's great to be here, Melanie.
Well, some of our listeners might not have known that we have covered this topic of ancient aliens before, or at least people who hold to this view that are very popular teachers. And the two teachers that Lindsay has covered for us are just so big on YouTube, and basically these episodes have been extremely popular. And something that I'm noticing in the comments, especially in the last episode that we talked about Corey Good, is that people who are identifying themselves as Christians also identify themselves as people who believe in aliens and UFOs. And again, that's one of our most popular episodes in the last couple of years. It has more than 14,000 views on YouTube if anyone wants to go back and find out a little bit more about Corey Good. But why is it that people who are Christians would also believe in aliens and UFOs?
What I found is interesting, Melanie, in reading some of the comments on both the David Wilcock podcast and the Corey Good podcast, is that some of the commenters will go to great lengths defending the faith of Wilcock and Good as well. And both have said that they believe in Jesus, but they follow the law of one. And that's not a Christian foundation. That's not biblical. And we talked about that in those podcasts. So they will go to great lengths defending Good and Wilcock as Christians, and then say that they themselves are Christians believing in extraterrestrials. I think it's important to note here that this conversation is not meant to mock anyone or to criticize anybody who has these beliefs about extraterrestrials or UFOs, but it's to open up a conversation about how Christians should be thinking about the topic that's at the forefront right now. We're talking about sky balloons in the air, and people are wondering, did those come from someplace extraterrestrial and not of this earth? And so this is an important question. And Christians disagree. And I think we can see that in the comments too, is that there are Christians who are quite adamant that there's no other intelligent life in the universe. And then there's Christians who leave it open and say, how do we know? And that really is the crux. How do we know? And the answer is, right now, we don't know, Melanie. There's no evidence that shows that there is extraterrestrial intelligent life. And we have not interacted, and scientists, as far as I know, have not interacted with rational extraterrestrial beings. That said, it's a really interesting question to speculate about. What if extraterrestrials exist? How would Christians respond to that? And what would the impact be on Christianity itself? Because the reality is, Melanie, is that a good number of Christians do believe in extraterrestrials and UFOs, specifically intelligent ETs. So the latest Pew Research, which came out in 2021, says that U.S. adults on the whole, 65% believe in intelligent ETs. And Protestants, about 51% of the Protestant respondents believed in intelligent ETs, and Catholics, 67% of Catholics believe in intelligent extraterrestrials, which creates this question, why and what does it mean? And I think it's because we're constantly searching for meaning in life, and sometimes we seek that meaning outside of scripture. But if we were to say, Melanie, that ETs exist, how does it impact our faith? It probably doesn't. God is still God. God is still the creator of the universe. He is still the God that we talk about and that we read about in Genesis 1:1 that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens aren't just the sky that we see when we look up. It's all of the heavens and the heavens beyond what we can see and what we can fathom. And so I think it's important to think about these things. And some philosophers would say it's necessary for Christians to think about these things because ethically we should have some sort of idea of what we would do if rational ETs existed. So conversations like this aren't bad for Christians to be having. But we also need to be grounded in reality and recognize that intelligent ETs, as of right now, do not exist.
Well, as you mentioned when you said balloons recently, if people are following the news, there was a Chinese spy balloon in U.S. airspace. And actually, the Pentagon has gone on to note that there's been an increase of reported sightings of UFOs in the last 2 years. So I think there is this thought that some of these things might be UFOs and not spy balloons. And that just brings me to the program Ancient Aliens, because there is such a passion from people who believe in ancient aliens and just the fact that a lot of things that we think were created by humanity were actually created by extraterrestrials. And that also impacts how people who have those beliefs think of the Bible. And that's what we're going to focus on today, a little bit about, you know, alien visitations and alien objects in the Bible. But first of all, I want to ask you a little bit about the program Ancient Aliens, because some people might be newer to this podcast and haven't listened to our past podcast on this episode. We've had three other ones on Ancient Aliens. So what is Ancient Aliens? What is that program?
Ancient Aliens is a show that you can find on History, which used to be called The History Channel, but from what I can tell, it's just called History now. Ancient Aliens is in its 19th season. I think we're about to hit 225 episodes for Ancient Aliens in this season. And that's just incredible. If you're thinking in the context of television history, it's pretty amazing that the show is that long running. We've already mentioned Wilcock and Good. They are popular experts featured on Ancient Aliens. But essentially what Ancient Aliens does is exactly what it sounds like. They talk about conspiracy theories regarding extraterrestrials. And they mainly highlight pseudo-historical and pseudo-scientific theories about ufology, which is the belief in UFOs. And I want to point out here that there are some famous Christians and a slew of celebrities and even former presidents who believe in the existence of UFOs as extraterrestrial objects. And so this isn't, like you said, this isn't new. We've been really talking about this since the 1940s when the Roswell incident happened. So it's not new. And Ancient Aliens really tackles those kinds of things. It's so popular, in fact, that they have created a live event called AlienCon, where a lot of the experts who present on the show are actually there, and you can meet and greet with them, and you can pay extra to get their autographs and take pictures with them. So it's a very popular place. But many of the episodes focus primarily on something called the ancient astronaut theory, which is the theory that extraterrestrial beings have visited Earth and made an impact, whatever that impact might be, on humanity. Some theorists who are featured on the show believe that various religious deities are actually extraterrestrials, which is kind of what we're talking about today, Melanie. Some believe that extraterrestrials came to Earth and implanted their DNA in humanity so that we could become better beings and ascend more quickly, which means that ascension for them is we're reaching our highest self. And a lot of the people who are featured on Ancient Aliens believe that the extraterrestrials who have visited us in the past and maybe even currently are trying to do just that.
So there are episodes on the channel History, and as part of each episode of Ancient Aliens, whatever the topic is, they interview various experts whom they call ancient alien theorists. And so who are some of those experts that they feature on their show?
When I started watching the show, and I have seen a variety of episodes at this point, so many episodes, and it's hard to remember all of the episodes I've seen. But really the main expert that they highlight is somebody called an ancient astronaut expert. And you wonder, well, that must be somebody who has gone to school and received some sort of training in science or archaeology. But on the whole, this is not the case, Melanie. In fact, I was really surprised when I started researching the people who are featured that many of them have little to no formal education at all. There are some who appear to be biblical scholars. You will see some rabbis represented on the show. You will see some reverends represented on the show. But again, it's really difficult to discern who has the formal training and who's just speaking from their own opinions. And that makes believing what is presented on Ancient Aliens really difficult for some, because who are these people and why are they talking about these things is essentially the name of the game. There are some exceptions to who I will call the educated experts that the show presents as they are adding them in with the non-educated experts. One of them is a gentleman, his name is Barry Downing, and he wrote a book called The Bible and the Flying Saucers about 50 years ago. There are no page numbers on this book, so it's really difficult for me to add any citations about the book. But in it, he talks about the relationship of religion and science, and he really tries to highlight the evidence that he sees of extraterrestrials in the Bible. We've already talked about Wilcock and Good. There are other theorists like David Childress, who dropped out of college at 19. Giorgio Tsoukalos, who is probably most known for a meme and his hair. His hair is a little bit wild, and there is a meme that has been created because of that, and it's currently going around, and it's blaming everything on aliens. It's a piece from the show. He has a bachelor's degree in communication, but nothing in science, archaeology, or history. One of the foundational experts presented on the show, who is very frequent on the show, is Eric von Daniken, though. They actually call him the godfather of ancient astronaut theory.
So tell us a little bit more about Eric von Daniken. I know that they have quoted him before or would repeat some of the various theses that he has when they are, you know, talking about certain archaeology sites in their episodes. So who is he? Give us a little bit of his background and what has he taught that makes him so popular by the other experts on the show?
He is really charismatic and he's fun to watch. You can tell he's very passionate about extraterrestrials, and he seems to be extremely excited to be on the show. And so I think that's probably why they feature him so often. But like I said, he's the godfather, or considered the godfather, of ancient astronaut theory. To be clear, he didn't come up with ancient astronaut theory. He's just considered the godfather of it because he wrote this book in 1968 called Chariots of the Gods. That book was actually made into a movie. And the movie was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature, which I thought was pretty amazing. The book itself contains not a single footnote, so I'm not able to fact check anything that is written in the book. And thankfully, he does have page numbers, but I can't fact check anything that he says because he never tells us the sources of his information. It's purely speculation. And he does have a very short bibliography in the back of the book, but it's not really super helpful to most readers. I would say about what you need to know about him is that he also dropped out of college to become what he calls a world mysteries explorer, which just brings up visions of Indiana Jones to me, somebody who's very interested. Indiana Jones was obviously a PhD and a science. He was an archaeologist, but Eric von Daniken, I think, comes across to me as somebody very Indiana Jones-like, who is interested in exploring the conspiracies of archaeology and ancient sites. And what is probably more interesting about von Daniken is that he has already been previously charged with things like embezzlement and fraud and forgery, which really calls into question everything that he writes about when he's talking about truth and evidence. He did serve his time. He paid a fine, but he has still yet to properly cite to anything that you find in his book. I've got the latest version of it. And like I said, not a single footnote. I don't know if that'll change over time, but it does call into question the information that is presented on Ancient Aliens, because so much of what they present comes from his book and his thoughts. I will say one of the claim to fames that I thought was really interesting about von Daniken was a quote by Carl Sagan, which I think most of our listeners will probably recognize the name. He's an astronomer who said, he's a scientist who said that he wouldn't believe anything, basically, that von Daniken said. And of course, we have thoughts about Sagan and whatnot, but his chief criticism of von Daniken was sloppy thinking. And that's one of my chief criticisms of him as well, is that I just would like to know where he's getting his information from. I would like to know why I should believe what it is he's saying. And if most of what Ancient Aliens is saying comes from his voice, that makes it really difficult for me to buy into what they're trying to sell.
Recently, I saw a post thanking us for putting something public that had been previously under a paywall for our subscribers. And I'd like to address that comment, actually, because a lot of people wonder, well, why does it cost to get certain content? And I know that some of you probably, like I do, subscribe to certain services, whether it's online retailers where you get things shipped to you overnight or in 2 days, or your favorite streaming service, which is actually a monthly fee. The journal is something that you can get for an entire year for your subscription fee of $33.50. And we believe that the content that we give you, the in-depth research that our authors are doing, is worth investing in. And it's much less than your monthly subscription to your favorite streaming service times 12 months. So we do also make certain content available free to everyone, and that is more than 40 years of the Christian Research Journal, many hundreds and hundreds of articles that are free. All of our podcasts are free. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is free to listen to, but there is a certain section of newer content that's online exclusives that we ask subscribers to subscribe for. And so we consider that it is worth investing in. And so we thank you for everyone who has. And if you haven't already, maybe consider doing that and putting, now, I don't know if you know this, but some of the monthly streaming services you can put on pause for a month or two or up to 90 days. Maybe you would want to put some of those on pause for a month or two and instead get access to the Christian Research Journal and a print edition straight to your door. So thank you for considering that. And we will continue to bring you this podcast free every week. And it's fascinating conversations with all of our journal authors. And then, in addition, we are so grateful for all of those people who partner with us. Now, I understand a subscription is not in everybody's budget. If you would just give us a tip, we'd be very grateful. You can do that on our website, equip.org, by going to Journal and clicking on Postmodern Realities Podcast. Every landing page has a link to give us a tip. And then, even better yet, to help us with the algorithm, if you would give us a review. And you can do that at Apple Podcasts is really the best place to do it. A written review is the most effective because other people can know why you listen to this podcast. So thank you for all the ways that you partner with us and for considering being a subscriber to the Christian Research Journal. Well, now I want to specifically ask you about the various episodes that they have on Ancient Aliens that makes claims about the Bible. And I do want to ask you about their views about Satan, because he's been featured a few times, and they do have an older episode called The Satan Conspiracy, just entirely about Satan. And I will tell our listeners that you can actually watch that episode on YouTube. They uploaded it a couple of months ago, and already it has more than 1 million views. That's a lot of views in a short period of time. So obviously, people are very interested in the Satan conspiracy. So what does Ancient Aliens say about Satan?
It seems like they have quite a bit to say about Satan, and it's not necessarily biblical, which is sort of ironic since Satan is a biblical figure. The note about the episodes, yeah, a lot of Ancient Aliens episodes are available for free on the History Channel's website or on YouTube, and you can actually find clips to double check all the things that we're saying. I spent a lot of time trying to write down where their sources were and who was saying what, but you could definitely go watch those on your own and see what they have to say for themselves. And I encourage you to check the sourcing, just like I encourage everyone to always double check what it is we're saying and find out for yourself. With regard to Satan, let me give a rundown of a typical episode. Essentially, what they will do is they will introduce the topic. So they would say, and we're going to talk about Satan today. Then they would provide the narrative from Scripture and whatever Scripture says about Satan. And then the ancient astronaut theorists and experts would come on and provide their speculation about what really happened. So with regard to Satan, Melanie, the narrative, we really start to read about it in the Garden of Eden. And that's where Ancient Aliens sort of spends its time talking about Satan. And in Scripture, we read that the serpent tempted Eve with the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree that Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat from. And both Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and then they were eventually thrown out of the garden for their sin. The show's experts suggest that the serpent, as illustrated in Scripture, was actually a humanoid with arms and legs. So for listeners, imagine a snake, but it's not really a snake because it has arms and legs and it has a face and it looks like a human face. The theorists say that in this instance, Satan was offering Adam and Eve a chance to grow into modernity because God was keeping them innocent and naive. And this was their opportunity to have divine knowledge. That's what Satan was revealing to them. So they really frame Satan as the good guy, which was just, that was a shocking moment for me. Then they go on to draw a parallel between the serpent in the Garden of Eden with Samyaza, who is the leader of the Watchers. The Watchers is a group of angels that we can read about in the Book of Enoch, which the Ancient Aliens people go to great lengths to remind us that these were found in the caves of Qumran, along with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Watchers, who are led by Samyaza, or Satan, as Ancient Aliens seems to frame it, were 200 angels who were sent to Earth to watch over humankind. And they thought that God was keeping humans in the dark and didn't want to do that anymore. They also became lustful after humanity and ended up rebelling against God and mating with humanity. And this might lead to the description that we read in Genesis 6:4 about sons of God bearing children with the daughters of men. Now, I want to clarify, and I do this in my article, that Hank Hanegraaff has talked about this particular scripture and the claims of demons or fallen angels having sexual relations with humans. And Hank rejects the idea that demons can have sex with humans because demons can't create real bodies for themselves or physical offspring because they don't have creative power. God has creative power and demons do not. So to say otherwise, Hank says, is would mean that Jesus was misleading his disciples when he told them that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Jesus was proving to the disciples that he was real, but spirits don't have flesh and bones. And to say that 6:4 is talking about demons is a stretch. So Hank's explanation of Genesis 6:4 is that the godly descendants of Seth are the sons of God, and the daughters of men are the ungodly descendants of Cain. And so I want to clarify that and make sure that our listeners know that there are a variety of ways that people have talked about that scripture, and Ancient Aliens frames it in a way that we don't agree with. But what I need people to remember is that the serpent in the garden was really Satan, and Satan fell and tempted Adam and Eve into sin, and the fall was our separation from God, and that was our doing, not God's doing. And it pains me that Ancient Aliens takes the Bible and twists it, but we know that we constantly have to be vigilant when those things happen. And James Sire warns us about scripture twisting, and we just have to be able to know scripture so that we can spot when it's being twisted.
I found it very almost ironic, actually, in all their suggestions about who Satan was and what happened in the garden, that they are like literally repeating the lie of Satan, because they said, isn't it interesting that the Bible would say this, but what if Satan was really opening their eyes and they would become more powerful than the gods themselves? And I just thought that was just so interesting, because they even cited the scripture and then proceeded to reinforce the lie of Satan himself.
And it's what they do. It's what they do is they try to put these seeds of doubt. And I need our listeners, our Christian listeners, to recognize that. And the way that you can recognize the twisting is by being in the Word. If you're not in the Word and you don't know the Word, you're not going to see the twisting, and you're going to start falling for the lies and the traps of Satan. And I don't want our listeners to do that.
Well, one of the other topics that they've talked about in the past is the Ark of the Covenant. And they make various claims about it. And in making their claims, and I will tell our listeners, the episode on the Ark of the Covenant is on YouTube. You can watch it for free there. But in making those claims, it involves a lot of scripture twisting, because the people who are talking about the scriptures themselves don't understand the context of scriptures and also the context of what the Ark of the Covenant actually was for. But anyway, they make some very fascinating claims. And what are some of those claims they make?
So for our listeners who might not know, the Ark of the Covenant was, scripture tells us that God gave specific instructions about the creation of the Ark of the Covenant. It housed the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, and then Aaron's rod. And it came about as an instruction from God to Moses to build a holy place so that God would dwell among the people. And you can read about this in Exodus, specifically in Exodus 25. So it was created with specific instructions from God, and there were specific rules that had to be followed regarding its transport and its care. And if those rules weren't followed, there would be consequences. And this, Melanie, takes me back to watching Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time. And look, Indiana Jones is coming up again. I'm showing all my cards here. But In that film, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it, they're on the hunt for the Ark of the Covenant. And toward the end, the Ark of the Covenant is opened. And it's a really graphic scene of what happens to the people who look upon the faces of the angels and look within the Ark of the Covenant. They all die. Anybody who put their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant died. And in scripture, it seems to, Indiana Jones is reinforcing scripture at this point, because what we can see in scripture is that people really did die if they touched the Ark of the Covenant. There's a guy in scripture who accidentally touched the Ark of the Covenant because it was about to fall, and he went to grab it and he immediately died. And then if you looked in the Ark of the Covenant without permission from God, you would die. So there were consequences for not handling it the way that God instructed. Now, Ancient Aliens takes all of this and creates their own narrative about the Ark of the Covenant. And somebody actually on the show calls it a nuclear-driven device. And they base it off of this book in 1978. There was a book that came out about the Ark of the Covenant called The Manna Machine. And they take this book and make that reality rather than what scripture says, which I find interesting. The device, which they call the manna machine, they say that it kept the Israelites safe and fed. Well, it did. It was the Ark of the Covenant. But they've now made it into this nuclear device that keeps the Israelites safe and fed. And David Wilcock even said on the show that the technology of the Ark of the Covenant was more advanced than anything we have now, which I think is just the most fantastical claim based on the technology that we have today and what we know the technology was in Bible times. And so to say that, okay, where did that technology come from? For Ancient Aliens, it's extraterrestrials. But for those of us who read scripture, it's from God Almighty, all-powerful, the creator of the universe, who gives us that power. But some of the things that the show says is evidence that it had to be extraterrestrial and had to have power from extraterrestrials was that it dried up the Jordan River so that the Israelites could pass on dry land, though it was responsible for collapsing the walls of Jericho, some sort of power emitted from the Ark of the Covenant that caused the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down, which I'm going to break into song, but they came tumbling down because of the Ark of the Covenant, according to Ancient Aliens. And then when it was stolen by the Philistines, it was responsible for the decapitation of the statue of a pagan god. Okay, some of those things are found in scripture, and they are given by the power of the Lord. But Ancient Aliens twist scripture and gives that atomic power, so to speak, to Ancient Aliens. And so once again, we see this show taking what's written in the Bible and replacing God with extraterrestrial beings. And you can see that time and time again on the show. It's a constant theme and a constant narrative where they are simply just removing God and replacing him with extraterrestrial beings.
It is really interesting that they also make claims about various people in the Bible. So they have some thoughts about who Moses and Noah are. And so what does Ancient Aliens say about them? And it can seem fantastical to us, but we have to remember that a lot of people really hold to these claims and believe them to be true.
Yes, which is why I think it's important to remember that we should be approaching these questions with gentleness and respect, like 1 Peter 3:15 says. People are going to have questions. And what the show does really well is form questions. The problem is that they're finding their answers to those questions in places that perhaps are unreliable and are not placing enough stock in the reliability of scripture. And that's unfortunate. But yes, they do have some thoughts about Moses and Noah. We'll start with Noah because this is a little bit interesting. This is where Eric Von Daniken plays a pretty big role in the show. He talks about something called the Lamech scroll, which was found in the caves of Qumran in the 1940s. And Ancient Aliens claims that this scroll takes whatever is written in the Bible about Noah and replaces it. So in this scroll, it says that, or at least this is what Eric von Daniken says, it says that Noah was the result of artificial insemination by the guardians of the sky. And the way that this was evidenced was because he had a strange appearance at his birth where he could light up the room with his eyes. They continue to say that Noah's pureness led the way for the next generation, which is why the flood came. It was to destroy all of the bad genes that happened before Noah so that we could continue on with the ancient alien genes within Noah and destroy any genetic mistakes that had happened in the world previous to that. Again, it sounds extraordinary, but people believe it, and they believe it to their core. And it requires investigation, not just taking people on their word, because they come across, Melanie, as very convincing. And when you watch their show, it's, oh, yeah, I could see how that could happen. And you could fall into the trap of wondering. And wondering is not the problem. It's the trap of buying into the deceitfulness and the untruth and buying into the things that contradict what we find in God's word. So with regard to Moses, we read about Moses primarily in Exodus, and I'm going to go back to the time where the Ten Commandments were revealed to Moses. He ascends Mount Sinai, and he is in the presence of God, and God tells him the Ten Commandments, and then he eventually descends Mount Sinai, and he has to wear a scarf across his face because his face is radiant. People can't look at him because he's so radiant, and the way that Scripture describes that is it's because he was in the presence of God. And I personally have never been in the direct presence of the Lord. He has not shown up in my living room, but I imagine if he did, my body would be transformed because it would just be an incredible experience. Well, Ancient Aliens decides that that isn't actually what happened at all, even though that's what the Bible says. They say that Moses actually had a interaction with extraterrestrial being, not divine. So it was an ET, not God. Once again, they're replacing God with an ET. And they continue on to say that he was abducted by aliens when he ascended Mount Sinai. And during that abduction, the ETs gave him the messages of peace, which are found in the Ten Commandments. And that's why he glowed when he descended the mountain, because he had been abducted by aliens and it was the extraterrestrial time that caused him to be radiant, not his time in the presence of God.
So one subject matter that is of theological importance to Christians is the end times. And we call that study, that theology, eschatology. And it also seems like end times are a big deal for people who believe in aliens and UFOs. So does Ancient Aliens cover what the Bible would call Armageddon or end times? What do they have to say about that?
Ancient Aliens has a lot of things to say about the end of the world. If you can watch some of the episodes that don't have to do with the Bible, they will talk about humanity's ascension and where we're heading and where we've been. But when they're talking about Scripture and eschatology found within Scripture, they acknowledge that John wrote Revelation and that there's going to be an ultimate battle between good and evil that we read about called Armageddon. We see that in Revelation. And as Christians, we believe that that's where God will win and he will reign forever. And Revelation 21 describes the new heaven and the new earth, which is called the New Jerusalem. And Ancient Aliens takes a look at the description of New Jerusalem and has come to its own conclusions about it. For example, they suggest that this descending New Jerusalem is actually a mothership or a city that descends from a ship, from a mothership. And part of the reasoning behind this is the repetitive nature of the number 12 found within Revelation. So New Jerusalem has 12 gates made of 12 pearls, and the walls have 12 gems. On the walls were the names of the 12 apostles. And what they are implying is that John had an interaction with the ETs, and he was given this understanding of the cosmic importance of the number 12. They don't really talk about what that is in the episode about Armageddon, but they do go back to the year 2012, which is, some of the listeners might know, was the end of the Maya calendar. And that yielded a film called 2012, where we talked about, where they showed what would happen at the end of 2012, the Maya calendar. And Ancient Aliens emphasizes that the Maya were incredibly accurate at tracking time. And so they're laying this foundation that there is credibility for their conclusions, which is that, okay, our world didn't end like everybody thought it was going to, and not everybody, but Ancient Aliens certainly did, that it would end in 2012. But instead, it was a turning point. So now they've reframed. It's no longer the end of the world, according to Ancient Aliens. It's a turning point for humankind. But they never defined that, because the Maya never defined that. For the Maya, it was the end. But Ancient Aliens is now saying that the Maya were onto something. And we don't know what the turning point is, but potentially it has to do with the impending Armageddon, which is described in scripture. But for them, that seems to strike a visual of Star Wars and a galactic battle. And they even cut to a scene where there's Star Wars ships fighting each other. And that's the scene that they go with when they're talking about Armageddon. So they're definitely thinking that ETs are going to play a role in the Armageddon battle that is described in Revelation.
So have there been any people rebutting the claims of Ancient Aliens? In other words, you've told us about things that we already can see from your description of the show, what the show is claiming, like the origins of the Ark of the Covenant, you know, being alien technology versus something that Moses and was, you know, something that was to be built so that God could have a dwelling place. And so is there anything that's being presented truthfully at all? Because when you do watch any of the episodes, they also have a narrator come on to reinforce what's just said. And they have, you know, the kind of suspenseful music that makes you doubt, well, maybe there is something. Why is the Ark of the Covenant lost? Could it be in a mountain in Japan? Could it be here? Or could it be there? So have there been anyone out there to try to take on some of the claims and look into them further?
Let me tackle the topic of truth first. There are things that they say that are true. For example, there were scrolls found in the caves of Qumran. And they talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls. They show images of ancient lands, and they bring in archaeology. They show things that are old, and they do quote scripture. And from what I can tell, they really are quoting scripture. And the issue is then, what are they doing with it? You're right in saying that it is fascinating to watch. It's almost, it's set up like a documentary almost, where it is setting you up for believing whatever it is the ancient astronaut theorist speculates. They ask a question and then cut to ancient astronaut theorist with the possible answer. And their answers are generally, you're looking at them and you're going, oh, maybe that could be true. And you start to wonder. It could be really easy. And that's why I said sources are really important. It's important to know who's being featured on the show, what their actual expertise is, and how they know what they know. Where are they getting their information? And the bulk of their information comes from someone who, Eric Von Daniken, who doesn't really have all that much knowledge, at least education-wise, in archaeology or history or science. As for people who are sort of debunking what Ancient Aliens says, there are fewer than I thought there would be. I thought that I would be able to search the internet and find tons of videos that were debunking everything Ancient Aliens was saying, but that just wasn't the case. I did find a couple. One of the more popular ones that comes up quite a bit is a 3-hour documentary that came out in 2012. It was directed by Chris White, and it features Michael Heiser, Dr. Michael Heiser, who is an Old Testament scholar. He has an MA in ancient history, and he has a PhD in Hebrew Bible and Semitic languages. So he does know things about ancient history, which is something that Ancient Aliens purports to talk about. And in this documentary, what I thought was interesting and contrasts with people like Von Daniken is that there are footnotes to the documentary. And I can't tell you how excited I was to discover this. I started watching it and a number popped up on the screen. And the narrator said, every time you see a number, it coincides with a footnote you can find on the website that will tell you where we got this information. So they're sourcing everything they say, which is really important. It's good to know where people are getting their information from and whether it's reliable. And I will say that they tackle some of the Ancient Aliens episodes and they dive in and they're quick to say, we're going to evaluate this. And then this was a lie, or this has been twisted. This is not what scripture says. And Heiser can tear down a lot of what is said in Ancient Aliens. They do spend a lot of time on Noah and the Nephilim. And in that area, Heiser says that Von Daniken has made particular claims about the Lamech scroll. We talked about that a little bit earlier, Melanie. And Heiser responds by saying that the claims that Von Daniken has about the Lamech scroll and what it says were completely fabricated. And then he goes to show why. And he illustrates why it's not true. And I think that's really important because that's not something that Ancient Aliens does. Ancient Aliens never tells you why you should believe what they say, just that you should. The downside to this particular documentary is, like I said, it's 10 years old and it hasn't been updated as far as I can tell. And Dr. Heiser is not doing well health-wise these days, but he does write a lot about UFOs and ETs, and there is information that you can find. And I think starting with this documentary is probably going to be really helpful for anybody who is interested in finding out if Ancient Aliens is believable.
Now, the show has had 18 seasons, and I'm assuming in 2023 we'll have a 19th season. And do you have any recommendations for Christians who may have seen the show? Should they continue to watch it? Because like you said, it is kind of fascinating. They have these really, you know, almost outlandish claims, but then they have various different quote unquote experts talk about it. So some people might have watched a lot. It's been on for quite some time and it continues to be successful. So what are alternatives, or should they continue to watch it, or how should they interact with all of this content on Ancient Aliens?
Melanie, I'm not going to tell anybody that they can't watch a particular show, but I think when they're watching Ancient Aliens, viewers should investigate and not just take what is being said on the screen as truth. And I challenge the listeners to investigate the truth claims of the Bible as well. There are books and YouTube videos that you can find that talk about the historical reliability of what we find in the Old Testament and what we find in the New Testament. It's what Christian apologists spend their time doing, and we enjoy it. We enjoy the research, and we enjoy helping people find out why they believe what they believe is true. And with Christianity, you can investigate the claims in the Bible and find reasons why it's believable. Unfortunately, like I said, with Ancient Aliens, you can't. You can't find out why what they say is believable, because it's not. It's not really founded in any sort of reality. It's speculative. And it's almost given in a hopeful sense of, I really hope this is true. As in, I would rather there be extraterrestrials than a God of the universe who created me in his image. And that's really unfortunate, especially when we see Christians represented on the show talking about these topics and replacing God with extraterrestrials. No one is as good or as powerful or as big as our God. And my fear in encouraging people to watch a show like Ancient Aliens is that they won't investigate the truth claims and they'll begin to buy into those claims. And I would hate for anybody's faith to falter on falsehood. And that is what you will find if you do a little bit of research about the information presented on the show. It's entertainment. It might be featured on the History Channel, but that doesn't make it historical. It's entertaining. The people that are presenting are fun to watch. There's good imagery. The narrator is interesting. And it does make you think. But I want people to be pointed to scripture and truth, and not to something that denies the validity of the foundation of Christianity.
And I would say to our listeners who might have stumbled on this episode on YouTube and are not Christians, that some claims of Christianity seem to be quite fantastical. Jesus came to earth and he was born of a virgin, and he claimed to be God and actually died and then came back to life. And I would ask those folks to really look into those claims by seeing, was it true that Jesus was resurrected? What does the Bible have to say about that? What about the Bible itself? Is it a document that can be trusted? Because unlike Ancient Aliens, you will find, if you do some research, that the Bible does stand up to all those different claims that it has against it. So I would hope that if some people find Christian claims hard to believe, that they would look into those as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I encourage anybody to do that. And sometimes just because it's weird doesn't mean that it's wrong. And just because it's weird doesn't mean it's not true. And the Bible stands up to the investigative stuff that people can do to investigate its claims.
Well, finally, on a much lighter note, I have a fun question for Lindsay. Lindsay, I'm asking our authors, as they look to the year 2023 this year, give us a word that you hope that at the end of the year would describe the year that you've had. We've had all kinds of answers.
I picked a word for this year. It's the first year I've ever picked a word, and it's adventure. And it has already been a year of adventure. So I am excited to see what God has in store for not only me and my family, but everybody in my circle and also in the world. I think that it's just going to be a grand adventure.
That's a great word. Well, thanks, Lindsay, for being a guest again on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
You've been listening to episode 328 of the Postmodern Realities podcast. Today's guest was Lindsay Manenwalt. She has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal. It's called Ancient Aliens and the Bible, What the Popular Television Series Says About Extraterrestrials in Scripture. Our subscribers can read her article for free at our website, equip.org. And if you would like to read her article and all of our online exclusives, please head on over to equip.org to subscribe. And you can see the journal tab. Click on that and you will see the link to subscribe. Stay connected with the Christian Research Institute and all the new content we have coming your way. The best way to do that is to head on over to our website, equip.org. There you will find thousands of free resources right at your fingertips, from articles to video to audio, and it's all for free. You'll find our podcasts hosted there, as well as the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which is hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and streams live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. In addition, you don't want to miss out on subscribing to Hank Unplugged, which is the podcast of Hank Hanegraaff. And in that podcast, he has really in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people. And in addition, he has a new series on his podcast feed called Hank Unplugged Shorts, which Hank goes into the headlines in the mainstream media and refutes a lot of those cultural issues that we have in these short podcast episodes. And there's quite a few of them. You don't want to miss out on them. Now, if you want to find some of this at other places where it's all in one place, really subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's a great way to get all of our content there, our podcasts there, and different individual questions theologically that people have that Hank answers at our YouTube channel. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know how to subscribe to YouTube. I don't have a YouTube account. Well, actually, you might just have a YouTube account. If you have a Gmail address, you have a YouTube account. Just log into YouTube with your Gmail address and search for Bible Answer Man channel, and please become one of our subscribers. In addition, if you see that bell icon right there on our front page, please click that. And every time that we have new content, you will receive a notification that new content is up on our channel for you to be able to consume. So thank you so much for the ways in which you partner with the Christian Research Institute. We are grateful for you listening and reading and watching.